introverted noise.
Hurry up, Daddy.
Let's do it.
5 seconds to go in the first half. Dante fires deep to the left. Moss caught it at the 11, but now he puts
look at this!
Jamal Williams! Touchdown!
You gotta be kidding me!
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Climbing the Pocket Podcast. I am your host, Jason Brown. You can find me on Twitter at BrownJason. And we're here with the full crew. Happy days are here again, and things are starting to really pick back up at Climbing the Pocket. Good Morning Gjallarhorn dropped today. The Scolders are back recording. The podcast for Good Morning Gjallarhorn is about to come out as well. So you can tell, things are ramping up. Combine happened. Free agency is around the corner. Lots to talk about. So let's get to it. My man, JR, how you doing? How you been?
I'm good, man. You know, knee deep in the draft guy right now, so that's pretty much my life at this point, and it's draft season, so things are going good for the most part, though.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I feel like as an accompaniment, I know you don't have time for it right now, but I feel like we're going to need to get, like, JR's book of draft sayings or something. Just a little book that folks can have on, like, their coffee table where you just go through, like, all your favorite draft sayings with, like, maybe some illustrations or something, because I think that'd be hilarious.
Yeah, I'm probably going to have to do that in an article one day.
Yeah,
that's
make
a
that
good
happen.
Idea.
Yeah, you got to do that. Miles, my man.
What's up?
I see, man, you're fully in it. You know, the draft seems to have got you invigorated. The offseason, you're really in it. I feel like you're more excited about this offseason than you were during the actual regular season. And, yeah, you're out here, you put some content out, saw you on, you did your thing on Andy's show, you're very active on Twitter these days. What's going on with you, my man? How you doing?
Yeah, like I've been saying, I've been more excited about this offseason than I've been in years past, just because I think the Vikings have to get creative, so I think that's fun. I think before they had a lot of cap space, they had a lot of opportunities to move around and do whatever they wanted to do because they had cap space, they had draft capital or whatever. Now they don't have a lot of that. So I just want to see how creative they can get.
All right. And a man who's been a little less active on the twitter.com of late.
He deactivated his Twitter account.
For a little bit, I was a little worried there, but you know, he'll pop up every now and again, throw out something, you know, throw a grenade in and then just go disappear again. So Prince, my man, how you doing? Where you been?
You know, I'm just dealing with fires around the world, like I'd be doing.
The whole world?
The whole entire world.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, you know, we are glad to have you on the podcast. And I guess we'll kick this thing off since, you know, I'm sure JR is not sick of talking about it at all yet. But, you know, the combine happened. And, you know, the combine gets everyone super excited. So I guess we should probably talk about that just a little bit before we go into some of these free agents and recently released players and all of these other things, rumors that, you know, we might hear popping up and all that stuff before next week. So JR, from your perspective, and I guess from the perspective of the Vikings, you know, what happened at the combine, or which players at the combine do you think that the Vikings may have had their eyes on perform the best, or which players do you think you might have liked for the Vikings going into the combine that they're maybe disappointed or got themselves bumped down the board a little bit?
Yeah, so just starting off with the first day, I thought the two players that really stood out the most in the offensive line group was Andre Dillard, the offensive tackle from Washington State, I should say, a guy that they have been interested in. They've shown some interest down at the Senior Bowl. They did speak with him briefly down there. A Viking scout did pull him out to the side following some practices and just had a couple words with him. It's still not clear as if they met with him at the combine. I haven't seen any reports about that. Doogie might have put one out, but I might have just missed it. But other than that, I really haven't seen them have any contact outside of the Senior Bowl with Dillard. But he's a guy that's been pegged very consistently with the Vikings in mock drafts, so he's definitely a name to keep an eye on. Also, Garrett Bradbury from NC State, the center from NC State, he had a really good combine as well. And I thought he stood out, looked very mobile, which both of those guys, they were set up to succeed. This event was where they should have shined because both of those guys, they're on the bit of a smaller side for their position. So they're known for their nimble feet and their athleticism. Now, on the flip side, a guy I thought that was a massive disappointment was Greg Little, the offensive tackle from Ole Miss, who they had a meeting with him at the combine. And all throughout his career, He's been touted as his five-star guy, and he did live up to the hype. I mean, you start 29 career games at Ole Miss in 3 years, or 29 straight games, I should say, at Ole Miss, and 35 career games played. So he did fit his billing as far as being that five-star recruit that did live up to the hype. But at the combine, I thought it was disastrous for him. I mean, you run into five threes, you jump 25 on the vertical, and the vertical is set at 24. So he barely pegged any of the tabs when he did jump. So that just didn't help him at all. And then he's already fighting an uphill battle as well, because he's known as a hot and cold type of prospect. He turns it off and on a bit too much for some evaluators, while others see some upside with him. But it's going to be a huge projection with him, and I would be really scared to touch him. He's a polarizing prospect. I think he's on the similar lines as a Rashawn Gary, the edge rusher from Michigan. As far as the running backs, I thought the 1B type of running back showed up. And what I mean by 1B type of runners is that the complementary guys really showed up. And Justice Hill, James Williams, the list goes on and on of those guys that did show up. Now, more down the line, guys really showed up as well. Alex Barnes from Kansas State is another name that stood out. And Miles Sanders from Penn State is another name that did show up and showed out. On the flip side, guys that I thought were disappointing, Devin Singletary from Florida Atlantic, a guy I was really high on going into the event. I thought he would run in the 4.5s, but he ended up running in the high 4.6s, which is something I really didn't expect. I didn't think he would be that slow. And then Elijah Holyfield, that's another name that was a massive disappointment as well. Moving on to day two, the tight ends were probably the position that the Vikings were going to pay attention to the most, because I don't think they're going to draft a quarterback early, and I don't think they're probably going to go receiver in the first or the second round. So maybe they could get those third or fourth round type of guys. But just sticking on subject with tight ends, the top three guys that showed up, the stars showed up, Noah Fant, T.J. Hockenson, Irv Smith all looked really good. Now, Irv Smith did test a little bit worse than what people were expecting. He came a little bit lighter and shorter, only at 6'2 and a half, 240 pounds. A lot of people were thinking he was going to be around 6'3, maybe 250 plus pounds. So he was a bit on the shorter side, but when they got to the on-the-field drills portion, I thought he looked fantastic. Those three guys just looked a step ahead of the rest, and some down-the-line guys looked good as well. Drew Sample was a name that stood out. Josh Oliver and some other guys that did stand out as well. On the flip side, Isaac Nada was a massive disappointment. I mean, you're running the 4.9s. You don't look fluid in the gauntlet drill. You're double catching and cradle catching in the gauntlet drills as well, and I thought he was a massive disappointment. For receivers, I thought the Ohio State guys really showed up, and I'm not even going to get into some of the top names because I don't think the Vikings are going to take a receiver early. So talk about Paris Campbell, Terry McLaurin. I thought both of those guys really were two guys that I had my eye on a lot. Stanley Morgan Jr. is another name from Nebraska who I think they probably will be interested in as well, who ran 4.53, I believe it was, and jumped in the high 30. So he's definitely an intriguing prospect. But outside of those guys on offense, I think most of those guys really did show up. On the defensive side, some guys that really caught my eye, Brian Burns, of course. This was an event that was really set up for him to succeed, but a name that Vikings fans should remember because he could be a potential Anthony Barr replacement. His name is Justin Hollins from Oregon. He has some experience as an edge rusher, but also a linebacker as well. Very similar measurables to Anthony Barr, 6'5 and a half, 250 pounds. So maybe that could be a guy they could take or target in the second or even the third round. I think if I'm Rick Spielman, I definitely will have his name circled.
Boy, okay. Everybody get all that? We good? And I'm glad you didn't take too much time, because obviously I feel like, you know, I'm going to go and I'm going to ask Miles, which mid-round, which late-round, you know, receiver should I be falling in love with? And I guess which tight ends really stood out for you as players you think the Vikings should be targeting?
Yeah, wide receiver wise, I mean, I've been on Terry McLaurin's been my guy for a couple months now. I think I would love him in the mid rounds. I think he's one of those guys that could sneak into day two. The way he did at the Senior Bowl, the way he tested. I heard a couple people say they were surprised by his 40 time, and I'm kind of not buying that. This to me tells me he didn't watch him, because he plays fast, he separates, so. I'm really big fan of his. I thought N'Keal Harry tested a lot better than expected. I kind of have like an Allen Robinson vibe to his game for me. That's kind of where my comp is for him. Like the way he tested, like the way he showed out. Antoine Wesley from Texas Tech. Didn't test as well as I would have liked or expected, but looking at his like percentiles and everything like that, he his height, weight, speed, or height, weight, wingspan, everything like that is all in the hand size and arm length are all in like the 80 plus percentile. And he jumped really well, 37 inch vertical, but would have liked to see some of the other numbers be a little bit better. But I like him. I like him in the mid rounds. Emmanuel Hall is another one of those guys who I thought had a pretty good combine too. And then looking at tight ends, I mean, I know JR pointed out quite a bit of guys. Noah Fant showed out. Thought TJ Hockenson was going to run a little bit faster of 40, but you could really tell that he's the kind of guy that builds up speed more than like his get off wasn't as great, but you could tell that as he was moving, he was starting to pick it up. Like JR mentioned, I like Josh Oliver, Jay Sternberger. And then I thought Caleb Wilson had a little bit better of a combine than I expected. Now, I don't think he's slow on tape, but I didn't think he was. I think he ran in the high 4.5s. I have to double check that one real quick. But yeah, I thought the tight ends were good. So they, he ran a 4.56, which was really impressive. I don't see that on tape, but I think overall, I think he's a solid prospect too.
All right, so Prince, I'm going to ask you this. I'm going to put you on the spot on this one here because, you know, I have an opinion. Many people have espoused pretty strong opinions on this one here. But based on, okay, so now we have, you know, the tape is obviously the most important thing. You have the combine that helps you kind of see what – if you need to go back and watch something else, maybe you missed something based on how someone measures and test and the athletic measurements and everything they have going on. So we had these tight ends at the very top end who really showed out. But we also had some offensive linemen who really, really showed up in the athletic testing and performed really, really well. Prince, if it comes to you now and you have your choice of, let's say, Noah Fant, Bradbury, and Dillard in the first round, what are you doing? Which way are you going and why? How are you really going to attack this this draft? If it was you, how would you go about building this team? Obviously, free agency hasn't happened yet.
Now, it's a really difficult question, Jason, because, you know, for the last several years, I've been a huge advocate of drafting the tight end really early in the first couple of rounds. But I think with the athletic talent that you have at tackle, you know, a guy like Andre Dillard, I think that you have to pull the trigger on a guy like that. You know, I know that the Vikings want to fix their interior, offensive line. Having a guy like Noah Fant would, you know, set you apart. But I mean, I think you do have some some guys at the tight end position that you probably could find later. I know that we've talked about TJ Hockenson. You have Irv Smith that, you know, you might look into, you know, a later round or whatnot, but
Prince.
You probably could find some, you know, that maybe trade back in the second round, maybe trade back in the third round. You might find someone in the fourth round. I haven't really gone that deep yet.
Ugh.
Yeah, I understand. Like, I get it. You're not wrong. But it's a matter of, you know, if I'm not just looking at, you know, obviously with a guy like Kirk Cousins, but, you know, getting a tackle of the future for the next, you know, 10, 12 years, I think it's going to be really important. And with the way that some of these guys are testing, as well as, you know, with the tape that they've provided, and it pains me to say, because I've advocated for a tight end, I just think that you can't pass up, you know, having a guy like that, or, you know, a couple of guys at the top end, to, you know, be able to maybe fix your offensive line right away. And I think that's probably a little bit more important than, you know, getting your stud weapon at Noah Fant.
Okay, so we're going with Dillard then at 18. What's the rest of your offensive line look like? How are you addressing everything else? What are you doing with Reef? How are you addressing the rest of the interior?
Right, I'd probably take Dillard as your left tackle, and then I'd probably slide Reef in to be your left guard. You can see how he performs there. And then obviously you have Pat Elflein as a center. I'm still an advocate of maybe drafting another guy that you can, you know, you can have. I like to double dip early in this draft just because there's so many good weapons, you know, really – do what the Colts had did last year. So I have Pat Elflein at your you know, at your as your center. Not a huge fan of Remmers at guard. I think that's a failed experiment. So you know, really keeping, but you might not have a choice. So you might have to keep Remmers at right guard, and then you have Brian O'Neill as your right tackle. In the future. So, I mean, he's already proven to be your right tackle. So, yeah, that's your starting left. Your starting offensive line. You have Dillard. You have Reef. You have Pat Elflein. Then you have Remmers, and then you have O'Neill. And then you know you can obviously bring in some guys in free agency as well as you know drafting some other guys as well too.
Okay, so Miles, same question to you. 18, those players are on the board. Which way are you going with it?
Rename the players. Sorry.
So we're going Dillard, we got Fant, and we got Bradbury.
Yeah, I'm going with Dillard too. I don't think they could go wrong with any of those three picks, in my opinion, but I think Dillard plays the most important position of the three. And I think he is arguably the best left tackle, pure left tackle in the draft. So. I'm going that route. I'm with Yinka in, I would go Dillard, left tackle, slide Reef into left guard, depending on how the rest of the draft goes. But if they wanted to, the Vikings could cut Riley Reef post June 1. And I think there's a lot less dead cap after June 1. I'd have to look it up. But for right now, I'd go Dillard, left tackle, Reef, left guard, Pat Elflein, center, Mike Remmers, he's off the team. So I'm addressing that in free agency. I'm addressing that in free agency, and then Ryan O'Neill at right tackle.
Gangster. Okay, JR, is it a clean sweep? Were you all going with Dillard in the first?
Yeah, I think Dillard just takes the offensive line to another level because now you have your two bookends and Dillard at left tackle and O'Neill at right tackle, and then you can just start to fill in the interior, whether you want to put Reef at left guard and leave Pat Elflein at center, or if you want to transition Elflein to guard and then bring in another center when drafting one late. So they're going to have their options. If Dillard is there at 18, I think he should be one of the top players on the board, though.
All right, then. Well, tell me a little bit more about him. Like, if he's the guy and is, you know, he seems to be a bit of a riser. I think when I started paying attention to draft stuff this year, he was kind of ranked in that, you know, end of the first round, beginning of the second round. In terms of rankings, we know that once the draft comes around, players like that end up getting pushed up boards. But I guess, where does he rank for you overall? And you know, what's the scouting report on him?
Yeah, he's actually in my top 20 right now. I believe he's my second, my third ranked tackle, but he's probably going to overtake Cody Ford here in a second once I finish my final big board, just because I trust his athleticism much more and his ability to hold up at that tackle spot. And I have some questions about Ford's athleticism, especially after the combine testing. He might be best as a guard. So he's probably going to end up as my second best offensive tackle and firmly in my top 20. But just a little bit of background about him, a former basketball player. So he has those nimble feet that you're looking for, very light on his feet, but he does struggle as a run blocker. And it's just because of the offense that he played in at Washington State with Mike Leach. We know he hasn't been exposed a lot to the running game. So the running game and run blocking is a bit foreign to him. But on the flip side, I think he is by far the best pass protector in this draft. And we've seen, as with Brian O'Neill last year, coaches love those athletes that are already natural pass protectors, because it's nearly impossible to coach that into these tackles. And you can mold the run game aspect around their natural pass protecting abilities. And that's why teams are so high on Andre Dillard. He already comes in from day one as that pass protector, so he can hold up in a pass happy league while you're able to mold him into being that nasty run blocker that he has the ceiling to be. And he's only played left tackle in his career, and we all know left tackles are very valuable in the NFL today. We saw with Colton Miller last year, he was pushed up the board, the athletic offensive tackle that went 15 overall, I believe it was. So I think he's going to end up going in the top 20. And wouldn't surprise me at all if he ends up going somewhere like Cincinnati at 11. I think that could be a prime target for him. Yeah, I think it would surprise me at all if he does go that high, just because of how well he did test and just the value that he brings at that blindside protector spot.
All right, so let's say that I just want to go kind of off the reservation here. I want to do something crazy, and I'm going to say all y'all are wrong. I want to get my weapon in the first round. Obviously, I know that, you know, that's a big risk. The offensive line for the Vikings is the thing. If you ask any Vikings fan what needs to get fixed this offseason, it's going to be offensive line. So if I went with Noah Fant in the first round, JR, help me out with some linemen that might be able to help us bolster things, you know, second, third, fourth round as we kind of moved along, you know, at any of the positions that could help us out.
Yeah, so I think you have to start it with Greg Little. I think he's a guy, despite what he tested at, I think he's going to be a guy that they are interested in just because of the traits that he does show on the field, and he definitely is a scheme fit. He projects a little better in a zone scheme as opposed to a man scheme, and, I mean, it's already been written that he's already met with the Vikings. Everybody knows that as well. So there is some little bit of interest there, and we'll see if he does come in for a top 30 visit. If he does come in for a top 30 visit, there definitely is some interest in him. Now, some other names just going down the list, Yannick Adjust from West Virginia. I think he could be another guy that they're interested in. He was a bit limited during the combine. You saw he was limping around a bit. And like I told Miles a little bit before the show and even in the DMs in a group chat, there is some worries about his knees with Yannick Adjust. He had knee surgery in 2016 and 2017. He tore his ACL twice in back-to-back years, and then he comes out limping at the combine. So medicals are going to be huge with him, and it's something that we will never know with him unless he does slip down the draft board, and it could be like a Tyrell Crosby situation last year, the tackle from Oregon that was projected to go early on day two but ended up slipping all the way to the fifth round just because he had that foot injury. Some more names, Max Sharping from Northern Illinois could be an option in maybe the third or fourth round. But a guy that I really do like in the third round, his name is Dennis Daly from South Carolina. He could be an option at that left tackle spot. He's only been a two-year starter at South Carolina. He went to Georgia Military Junior College his first 2 years, his freshman and sophomore year, before transferring to South Carolina. Started 23 of 24 games there, and he got better as the year went on. Go back and watch him against Clemson. He completely shut out Cleveland Ferrell as the game went along. So I think Dennis Daly could be an option for them in the third round.
Okay. I like that. All right. And I know we talked before and you said you haven't watched it yet, but one of the guys, I guess, that I'm interested to get your take on, just based on, you know, the athletic testing, and you said he kind of came out of nowhere a little bit, was Romer, Tyler Romer. Because he tested, I guess, as an elite athlete, and I hadn't really seen his name in too many places before the combine kicked off. So,
yeah, and he kind of got some Twitter love during the combine as well. There were some clips going on or going around about him. I think Daniel Jeremiah and some other guys posted some clips about him where he was just completely destroying people. And we know that offense, they're ground and pound a lot. I mean, we've seen your baby Jason with Rashad Penny has come out of that offense. there's been some other guys as well that's been successful in that offense as well. So they're more of a ground and pound style. You're going to have to teach him how to be a natural pass protector. But there is some off-field concerns that I do know about Romer. He got kicked off the team this past year, and I'm not sure exactly for what. It was just they just left it as a violation of team rules and he ended up declaring for the draft. So there is some worry of some off-the-field stuff with him, and I'm sure teams have done their homework on him as well.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, let's move on to free agency and all the other stuff that's going on here. I guess, you know, this fun little period where, like, veterans start getting released and all that kind of stuff. Miles, as we move along here, you know, veterans are starting to get released. Vikings are starting to sign some players. There are, you know, rumors of trades and all these other things. As things are going right now, who is your most realistic target of someone that may come in that maybe is off our radar a little bit right now in terms of a player who may come available, has recently been made available, someone we might be able to actually trade for? Like, who are the players out there that you think might be someone we add that we weren't talking about 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, I have a hard time. You're talking about trades, so that's good. Because I feel like every time I predict a free agent, they get re-signed by their team. So for trades, I'm going to stick to offensive line. I've literally been saying this for months and months, back in August. The Chargers, I think the Chargers are one of the top. I have three teams that I'd be calling for offensive linemen. I have the Chargers, the Browns, and the Eagles. Chargers, I'm calling and asking about Forrest Lamp, and I'm asking about Michael Schofield. I think both could come fairly cheap, and both don't cost much in terms of cap it. And then for the Eagles, I'm calling and asking about Steven Wisniewski. He's their backup swing right guard center. They signed him last year in 2017 to be their – and he was their starting I think he was their starting left guard. And then played and then kicked out to right guard when Brandon Brooks got hurt this last year. But he's got position flexibility. I think he's got 1 year left, left on his deal at like $2 or $3 million. And then I'm calling the Browns. This one's a little bit more of a bigger move, but I'm calling the Browns about Kevin Zeitler. I think, you know, with them having Austin Corbett, you know, waiting in the wings, and they might want to dump some future salary. Zeitler might be that guy that they'd be willing to trade for, you know, maybe a mid-round pick or something like that. So those would be the three teams I'd call for offensive linemen right now.
Okay. And Zeitler, I know that, you know, when those rumors started going around, people got really excited. And I know it's a tough question because it often feels like these players that really should go for a lot end up going for a lot less. Like you said, mid-round, that usually ends up seeming to be where, like, the compensation ends up coming in because of salary and all those other things. Is that where you're pegging it? Like a third conditional? Like, what are you thinking would be the what we'd have to give up in order to get a player like a Kevin Zeitler?
Honestly, I'd have to look at how his contract's structured, but I really think the Browns are only on the hook for his signing bonuses. So instead of having to pay Zeitler $12 million per year of cap hit in 2019, 2020, and I think 2021 he has left, it'd be like you drop each year two million down. So it'd be $10 million this year instead of 12. So I think some of that factors in. So I'd say like a fourth round pick could probably might be able to get it done. I'm not going to promise that it would, but I think it's a possibility.
Okay. And I'm going to ask, I feel like I shouldn't, but I'm going to ask the question anyway. Since, you know, we're talking about trades and mid round picks and all this kind of stuff. JR, I have to start with you because this was your man. This was your dude. This was your guy last year. What do you make of these rumors of Josh Rosen available for a third round pick? And if that's actually the price, should the Vikings be in on that?
I don't believe that. I think he's much more. I think he's worth much more. And I think people are kind of holding him hostage to the situation that he was in last year. And he wasn't in favorable elements. He was behind a very poor offensive line and a part of a bad coaching staff overall. So the picture has been painted really bad with Josh Rosen, and I think a team would easily give up a first-round pick for him. And before Case Keenum actually got traded to the Redskins, I thought they probably would give up 15, easily to get Rosen. And they need a quarterback desperately in Washington, and getting a guy like Rosen I think could be a fit. Keep your eye on the Patriots, too. It wouldn't surprise me if they throw a first-round pick out there. I mean, they have 12 picks this year, so they have plenty of ammo to go after Josh Rosen if they want to groom him to be that next guy behind Tom Brady. But I think a team would easily give up a first-round pick for Rosen. I don't believe the third-round stuff. And if I was the Vikings, and realistically, I don't think they would do it. I don't even think they would consider it. But if a third-round pick was the price, I definitely would be interested in doing that because you got a cost-controlled rookie quarterback like Rosen who has, I think, still a high ceiling. And a lot of people are forgetting that he was the top-ranked quarterback for a lot of people last year. And I think he was just in bad elements last year and has painted a bad picture with him. But if I'm the Vikings, I would flip a third easily for Rosen, despite Kirk Cousins already being on the roster.
Okay. I'd be down for that just for the drama, just to watch Vikings Twitter burn. I think that'd be fun. It'd be good times.
JR, did you say despite Kirk Cousins being on the roster or because?
here you go.
He's on the roster. He's not. He has a no trade clause. He's not going anywhere.
Just want to make sure I heard that right.
Of course. So, Prince, you know, as things are going here, free agency is about to kick off. What are the moves you're looking to see? What are you hoping happens as things start to kick off? It looks like, you know, I don't know. It looked like this for a minute. It looks like Anthony Barr is out the door. What are you looking to see? What are you hoping for? Which players are you hoping to get? You know, I guess not really hoping for, but expecting to get maybe restructured, cut. Like, what is your thought about what's about to happen for these Vikings as free agency rolls around?
Well, I mean, obviously the biggest thing is obviously get some cap space back. If you can restructure Kyle Rudolph, that'd be great. If you restructure guys like, you know, Everson Griffin, I think Anderson Dejo probably will get cut, but I mean, he'd be another good body to bring back if you can get him restructured and stuff. you know, so that that would be a way to obviously free up some money. And I would use some of that restructured money to, you know, really bring in some offensive linemen who can come in and compete, especially at your interior spots, so you don't have to force that pick. So that, you know, that's what I'm looking at as far as free agency. Bring in a couple of guys. I don't know if there's, I mean, maybe bring in a tight end or you know, a bet tight end that's, you know, maybe the, out there on the market. I think, Miles, you have mentioned like Tyler Eifert, Vernon Davis, some of those older guys to do it, you know, just to have the backup. Again, you don't want to have to force a pick, because I really want that pick at 18 to be a pick that, you know, I know that we're not talking about it enough, but I mean, we all agree in it. Like, we're definitely team trade back. I think 18 is a really great spot to kind of take advantage of some teams that get a little trigger happy and want to move up a couple of spots. You know, if you can secure another, you know, second round pick, you can secure another third round pick for a team that's looking to move up, that'd be fantastic. You know, you'll still have, you know, you will still have some top end. And me, because I want to really double dip high at offensive linemen, think about, you know, how much talent we have at offensive line. You don't take that guy at 18, you trade back, maybe get a weapon, a tight end weapon or something. Well, then you can double dip at offensive line or, you know, really take advantage of this interior defensive line. So that's what I'm kind of looking for the Vikings. I'm hoping that they can work that out. But obviously that's, you know, all things considered, things have falling into place the way they should be.
Okay. All right. I guess, did anyone have anything else super pressing they wanted to get into? Because I had a question I wanted to ask for Prince that's kind of off the topic a little bit. But like, in terms of free agency, was there anything else, you know, Jamie Collins, anything else y'all really felt the urge to get into and talk about on this show tonight? All right, I'll take that as a no. Prince, are you still torturing yourself going back through the whole season, watching everything all over again?
I am. I'm actually starting a new series. It's called Keep That. This is actually going to be a kind of a positive spin, because I know that the season didn't end the way that we wanted it to. But it, you know, at least I'm actually starting to find a couple of plays here and there, some scheme stuff, some play things that were actually working really well that I want the Vikings to obviously keep in their playbook, keep in things that they can also even evolve on. So, you know, I just got through the first game here. I'm just looking for a good converter to make it into GIFs and stuff. So, but yeah, I think the Vikings can, they had some good things happening last season. I know amidst all the, you know, missing the playoffs and, you know, having things kind of falling apart, there were some good things that happened. So I kind of want to keep the focus on that as well too.
All right. I like that. Miles, I know you've been busy in them Twitter streets, and you're on Andy's show, which will be in the show notes. Check that out if you haven't already. What else you got going on? What else should we be looking for?
I'm trying to get back to watching some more tape, and then I'll probably put something together on some wide receivers that I like for the Vikings this year. And I'll probably combo that wide receivers and tight ends, just because it's maybe I'll make it a 2-part series.
And last but certainly not least, JR, my man, doing the rounds, hitting all the podcasts. What else you got going on? What's the next thing we should be looking for from you?
So the latest Draft Board podcast episode has been posted with Mark Schofield, who did a fantastic job breaking down the quarterbacks in this class. Next week's episode, I'm really looking forward to getting that out. I'm going to be interviewing Mike Band, who is a former Viking scout, and he was the guy that was behind scouting Danielle Hunter and Jerick McKinnon. And he's going to walk me through the analytical side and how they incorporated that in their draft room as well. So I'm looking forward to that episode next week.
Oh, boy. You know, I'll be tuned in for that one. That should be good times. Well, all right. Listeners, as always, thanks for sticking with us. Gentlemen, thanks for coming on. And as I said at the beginning, all the pods on the CTP network are kicking back up. Everyone has had their time to feel sad about last season. Everyone's hopeful, excited, looking forward to the next season. So a lot of content's coming out for you here soon. So yeah, make sure you're listening. You're probably subscribed already, but go tell a friend. Get them subscribed as well. And if you know, you heard the Matthew Collar episode and he was like, if you want my job, take it. If you want some practice at taking his job, hit us up as well. Maybe we'll let you write something. But that's it. That's all. Y'all have a good night. Gentlemen, thank you. And we'll talk to you soon. Have a good one.